What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. So I got to tell you, I did not see it coming yesterday. Jimmy and Chelsea, Love is Blind, didn't see it coming. Spoiler alert. Now, have you seen this show, Love is Blind? I was talking to Brett Winterbull about it last week because it was shot in Charlotte. So Charlotte got a lot of really nice, video shots and locations all around town. It was pretty neat. But anyway, yeah. So the concept of the program, my wife and I started watching this. She found this. It's on Netflix, and I think this was like season 6 or something. But Christy found it. We watched the first season, and the first season we only watched the first 2 seasons plus this one. So there's 3 out of the 6 seasons. But I got to say, the first one I think was the best because it was a brand new experiment. Nobody knew anything about the premise of the show, and the premise of the show is simply that you take 15 dudes, 15 gals, and you put them into these rooms. They called them pods, and you talk through a wall. So you can't see the person you're talking to. And you basically go and you talk with them, and you're secluded. All the guys stay in one side of this facility, and all the girls stay on the other side of the facility. So that everybody talks to each other. So it's not like hermetically sealed. You're not like sealed off, but they take away your phones. You have no outside communications, and you are only there to find somebody to get married to. And the premise is that you're going to make a connection with somebody on a level that you don't even realize you are missing because of the world that we live in now. And the first season I thought was actually pretty good, but now people know the game, you know? And so you got people that are, I think, using it in order to get fame and that sort of thing. But anyway, this last season had a lot of nice shots of Charlotte. And so if you've never seen it, you could watch it just for the shots of Charlotte. That's pretty cool. I also did not see it coming where Democrats and media, but I repeat myself, were going to pounce. They were going to seize upon some of the comments made by Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson. I'm just kidding. I totally knew they were going to. Of course, we all knew they were going to. Anybody who follows North Carolina politics knows that the Democrats were going to seize on all of the examples that Mark Robinson has provided them, be it Facebook posts or speeches at the churches or campaign stump speeches or whatever. Like he has been saying all sorts of stuff for years. He has never deleted any of the social media posts, which is fine. Like I'm not saying he should, but because he has never deleted any of this stuff, like before you ran for office, you probably should have wiped all this stuff off, but he did not. So it all still lives there, which is helpful now because when media comes along and they're like, oh my God, we got this Nazi running for governor in North Carolina, a black Nazi, you know, now they go and they pull these pieces out of his posts or his sermons or whatever. They selectively edit stuff. They pull it out. They broadcast it. You know, outrage ensues. Everybody is then forced to play defend or disavow by the media. And because his posts are still on Facebook, at least we can go back and say, here's the full post. You're an idiot. Right? You can go back and say that. Now, I recognize that I am in a bit of a unique position here, okay? Because if you see a media report that Mark Robinson said something crazy, stupid, racist, misogynist, whatever, right? Like whatever the story is that they're using to go after Mark Robinson, You see the story, you see the headline, and you can say, I don't believe that's true, and just move on, right? That's how the media treats Mark Robinson. They hate Mark Robinson, so I'm just going to dismiss it. I can't. I can't do that. I have to know what was said. And it's not like, oh, I just have to know him personally. I mean, no, given what I do, I have to know what the full context was. I have to, you know, find that out. I got to go search the original source material, find it out. And then once I know what it is, I've got to tell other people, right? I've got to let you know that your inclination is correct or incorrect. I've got to tell you that, hey, you know that thing that they said Mark Robinson said? Yeah, you were right. They took it out of context, right? Or I have to say, there is no other context. He just said this thing, and that's what they're all reporting. Which, by the way, and this is not to bash Mark Robinson, because I'm going to spend, and this is the irony of all of this, is that now, like, I get attacked, I get savaged, as occurred yesterday over the last 24, not even 24 hours. The left-wing moon bats are swarming because they gave Robinson the treatment. I pointed out that it was not correct, that the video that the Huffington Post put up on Twitter was not the full clip, to the point now where it's been removed. The clip that they posted, the selectively edited clip that they recently unearthed just in time for the day after the election, right? Because they didn't want Republicans to see this before. They wanted Republicans, and specifically Democrats and persuadable Republicans, they wanted everybody to hear this and see this after, right? They wanted Robinson to be the nominee because he is the one that they felt most comfortable taking down. They feel like they can beat him because of all of the stuff that he has said and posted on Facebook. And so this is going to continue now for 8 more months. That's what we are going to be subjected to. You're going to see it on the commercials, right? You are going to see it in the mailers, radio spots. It's going to be everywhere. And I don't have the luxury of ignoring it. I have to go watch the stuff, and then I have to go say on social media, on the radio here, no, you guys are taking this out of context. Here's the full context. So let's start with the full context, okay? You ready? Here's the clip. This was from, let me see, March, I think it was, 2020? Yeah, March 1st, 2020. So 4 years ago. He's not an elected official at this point. He's running for lieutenant governor right before the primary, and he's speaking in front of the Pitt County Republican Women's Group, right? That's his audience, Republican women, okay? And here is the clip.
I'm a Republican because Republicans are the party of freedom and equality. Yeah. This narrative about Republicans being racist and cannot stand Mexican people and black people and women is ridiculous. This idiotic guy was on stage with Candace Owens a few days ago and asked her, what America are we going back to make America great again? The one where women couldn't vote or black people were swinging from trees? I would say to him if I was standing in front of him, I absolutely want to go back to the America where women couldn't vote. Do you know why? Because in those days, we had people who fought for real social change, and they were called Republicans. And they are the reason why women can vote today. Those days that he talked about when black folks were swinging from trees, guess who it was out there fighting to bring that to an end, to bring Jim Crow to an end? It was Republicans. So that's the America we want to bring back. We want to bring back the America where Republicans and principles and true ideas of freedom rule. That's the America we want to bring back. That's why I'm a Republican. I'm a Republican because of the 13th, 14th, the 15th Amendment to the Constitution and the 19th Amendment to the Constitution. I'm a Republican because whenever you look at true, honest to God, social change for the better, at the top, leading the charge, is a Republican.
Oh, sorry. Hang on a second. I guess I should probably do this. Now, if you're struggling to figure out why this was so outrageous of an audio clip, I'll tell you in a minute.
All right, so maybe you've heard by now, DraftKings Sportsbook is coming to North Carolina, right? Less than a week away. On March 11th, sportsbooks are legal in the Tar Heel State. DraftKings is one of America's top-rated sportsbooks with same-game parlays, money lines, and props. The best features like odds boost and live betting and social betting groups where you can share your bets with friends in real time. That's pretty cool. DraftKings is safe, it's secure, it's reliable, and best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. And it all starts on March 11th. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, do it now, and then you get to place your bets on your favorite sports once it goes live. Remember to use my name, Pete, as a promo code. That is P-E-T-E. Mm-hmm. And again, it goes live on March 11th. And now to do the disclaimer, gambling problem, call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Eligibility restrictions apply, subject to regulatory licensing requirements. See terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC.
100, 200 replies on social media. It's just crazy. I call them moonbats because they remind me of those the flying monkeys from Wizard of Oz, you know? And they swarm. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Okay, so you heard the clip. You heard Mark Robinson's quotes there. What he actually says, right? What he actually said was that it was ridiculous that Republicans are accused of hating Hispanics or black people or women. He called it ridiculous. And then he tells the story about Candace Owens, who's on a stage with some idiot, he calls him, and says, what are you trying to go back to? And his only point was not that you want to go back to those times and live in those times. He was talking about going back to the time when the Republican Party actually fought for these big social changes that were for the better. Now, you can argue with whether or not this was a good way to say what he was trying to communicate. And by the way, what he was trying to communicate is a message that he has tried to communicate in many different ways over the last 5 years, which is Republicans, stand up and reclaim your history. You're the party of freedom. You're the party that freed the slaves, right? You're the party that voted for women's suffrage. That's not women suffering, okay? It's for women to vote. And you need to stand up and proudly reclaim these victories that your party has had. That's been his message. I've seen his speeches. He says it often. He has given a lot of speeches in front of a lot of Republican groups around the state. And this is the theme that he usually hammers. He's trying to stiffen their spines, to marshal the forces to go into battle. Wants them to be proud of their history. Do not be kowtowed. Do not be shamed by this. Because you know what else? Because, of course, this, you know, we move immediately then into the online debate over how the party switched, right? How all the racists became Republicans after the 1968 Civil Rights Act, right? That's the big lie the Democrats tell themselves, which, look, if I was the party of slavery, I would want to tell myself a different story too. Sure. Who wouldn't, right? You don't want that. I mean, in fact, there was a state lawmaker who ran a bill who said that the state would not recognize any political party that once had slavery as part of its party platform. And that's the Democrat Party. So it would have essentially banned the Democratic Party in North Carolina, which, yeah, I mean, epic troll move, but it did not go anywhere, unfortunately. But we now have this argument raging also about this because, you know, Democrats don't ever want to acknowledge that they were the party of slavery. They were the party that opposed civil rights. They point to LBJ and they're like, look, he signed it. See, so we're not the racists. Yeah, but it was the Republicans who without them, LBJ never would have gotten the bill to sign. Because presidents don't pass legislation. They either sign it or veto it, right? The legislature does that. And the legislature, The legislative Democrats, they opposed the Civil Rights Act. They opposed women's suffrage, right? So this is the point that Mark Robinson is making. And what they do, though, is the Huffington Post headline, Mark Robinson, quote, "I absolutely want to go back to the America where women couldn't vote." That's the headline. And then here's the subhead. In a newly unearthed video, it's a newly unearthed video, right? That's available on YouTube and has been for 4 years. That's crap. They've been sitting on this and they've been waiting. And the day after he secures the nomination, you know, they dump it. So everybody can now start talking about how Mark Robinson wants to go back to an America where women can't vote. He says America was better then because Republicans fought for real social change. And then the Twitter account, of course, takes a clip of this longer video, just the part where he says, "I absolutely want to go back to the America where women couldn't vote." They take that clip, and that's the clip that they spread on Twitter. And that's the only clip that people are going to watch. They're not going to go click the link, scroll all the way down, and then find the full video and watch that, even though it's only like 6 minutes or something. You're not going to watch that. It's going to be a long 8 months.
All right. Do the current world events have you wondering whether we are teetering on the edge of catastrophe? Are you concerned it's going to reach our shores? Okay. So what are you doing about your concerns? Let me help. Carolina Readiness Supply at carolinareadiness.com. Whether you're looking to expand your emergency preparedness supplies or you have no idea where to even begin, Carolina Readiness Supply can help you. Food, water purifiers, tools, first aid kits, instructional materials, camping and hiking supplies even, because being prepared is just smart. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies and educational materials that you'll need for any kind of emergency. In Waynesville and always at CarolinaReadiness.com, veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out?
Got a message from John. John writes in and says, "Pete, a little piece of history. I point out that the people that the Republican Party helped found the NAACP, whereas the Democrat Party helped to found the KKK. In North Carolina, the Democrat Party, under the encouragement of the Raleigh News and Observer, led the overthrow of democracy in Wilmington." Yes, the Wilmington riots, 1898, I believe, when they drove the elected black officials and Republicans, the Fusion Party, drove them out of office and out of their businesses, burned them down, murdered them, and ran them out of the city. And then they all changed to Republicans.
Right.
Brian, welcome to the program. Hello, Brian.
Hey, yeah, man. I want to see that Republican Party come back too, man. I want to see them come back strong and start doing the things that they used to do when Lincoln was around. And I tell you what, Mark Roberts can kickstart this reparations movement that needs to happen. Well, it's going to happen, you know, but the Republican Party, they can lead it.
Do you think Robinson is in favor of reparations?
Well, we're talking about the Republican Party that was instrumental in ending slavery. And what you just mentioned about the what the Democratic Party did. So I'm looking for the Republican Party to really step up and do those courageous things that they did in the centuries ago.
Okay.
And kickstart the reparation movement for the African Americans that were scourged during that time. So
all right,
I hope, Mark, you don't think he will?
No. All right. So a couple of things. No. I asked if you thought Robinson was in favor of it. You didn't answer that. So you just want him to do it. Okay. So hang on. So let's explore this. I got two different tracks for you. Number one, are you a Republican or do you engage in any kind of like a party politics with the Republicans?
Man, you know what? The thing about it is I've been educated today. I was a registered Democrat.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm going to do unaffiliated from now on, though.
No, I hear you. Yeah. So, right. So, no, the reason I ask if you're involved in GOP politics at all, because that would be the way to get the party to move forward on reparations, right? If you want
How do I do that?
You become a Republican and get engaged in the Republican Party functions, like they're, you know, like they're organizing at the precinct level and getting out the vote.
Yeah. But you know what? I tell you what, man, when you get yourself labeled, this is what I'm finding out. That's why I want to go unaffiliated. Yeah. Because you have good ideas on both sides of the aisle. Anybody can come up with a good idea. And then but when you're labeled, no matter if the idea is good or not, they're going to say it's no good.
Right,
so
no.
I'd rather be unaffiliated, okay. So I can go to the part that makes common sense.
Okay, so all right, so just be aware then that leading or trying to organize or be involved in a reparations movement in the Republican Party is going to be more difficult if you are unaffiliated, if you're trying to be part of that. Now, I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'm unaffiliated. I've been registered unaffiliated for over 20 years, okay? So I recognize the value in it, but if you're trying to organize a reparations effort through the Republican Party, it's going to be more difficult if you're not a member of that party, okay?
I'm going to bring up the history of that party. I don't have to be a member of it to bring up the history, the courageous history that you just mentioned.
No, of course not.
You know? And you know what I think too? I really think is that, you know how people say they flip flop. The Democratic Party hadn't changed. They just, you know how the sheep in wolf's clothing, how that scenario, how that little example is. That's what the Democrats really did. And then the Republicans, you know, they just lost their way. You know, and so I think that from what you said about this gentleman here, Mark Robinson. You know, and why he's a Republican, that's important stuff.
Yeah, so I think
so. If they can get back to that, then we can start this march on really healing this nation.
Okay, so all right, so this then, okay, so then this is the second track that I wanted to go down with you, which is, do you think reparations would let us as a country move past everything? Does that clear the slate?
I think the healing will begin. No.
Brian, that's not what reparations is about. It's not beginning to heal. It's over.
It's the repair of damage. I understand that, but listen. But see, the thing about it is the healing's going to have to begin, and that's how you start it. That's what you do. You start it with a reparations serious conversation,
yeah,
and a path to that, and you gotta listen, man. That was the greatest travesty in American history, and it hadn't been repaired.
Okay,
so how can things go smooth? They're not gonna go smooth.
All right, so Brian, so on the reparations thing, you see this as a big payout to a whole bunch of harmed parties. And let's not get into
that's
the exact
way to put that harmed parties.
Yeah.
Like
okay.
That.
So how about does that include Union soldiers and their descendants?
Union soldiers and their descendants.
Yeah.
For reparations.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, are you talking about black soldiers or are you talking about white soldiers?
I'm talking about any Union soldier that fought in the Civil War and died or was maimed, injured.
Okay, well, the United States government took care of them anyway. They were soldiers.
Were
taken care of.
They weren't.
What I'm talking about is the scourge of slavery and the.
I understand what you're talking about. No, Brian, I understand what you're talking about, but I would submit that for a lot of people who have relatives that died freeing the slaves, right? Like, where would they go?
No. Those people died because they wanted to unite the United States. What came of a consequence of trying to unite the United States was an abolishment of slavery. The abolishment of slavery was an afterthought of uniting the United States.
You think that's,
don't get that twisted.
You think that's, so now, you know, you sound like the states' rights argument. You sound like the people who are the lost causers.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about with that.
I'm talking about people that defend the Confederacy and the Confederate flag flying over all the buildings, and they don't want any statues taken out. That's the argument, you know, that they were making for a long time. You sound a little bit like those arguments that, oh, it's not really about slavery. It's about
no. The war itself was about slavery. That was okay. The epitome of it.
Right, okay. So then what do you say to all of the Union soldiers that died? More Americans died in that war than all other wars. So what of all of the hundreds of thousands of Union soldiers that died and their relatives?
You don't know how to bake a cake. I see that, because your ingredients is really bad. You're mixing too much up with it. That's not how it goes. But the thing about it is this.
You don't want to answer the question. I got you.
No. I'm going to clearly answer it for you, but you're mixing it up, man.
I'm not.
They'll run you out the kitchen.
No.
But
worked
but,
in kitchens of a long time. So yeah, you're wrong on both counts. But go ahead.
No. The thing about it is this. You said should those soldiers be paid reparations? Those soldiers were paid for being a United States military man or woman.
They were drafted.
Those soldiers were paid. Their payment doesn't have nothing to do with the scourge of slavery.
They died. They died freeing the slaves.
They died fighting the war. You got them. They died in World War II. They died in World War I.
Right.
They died in Vietnam. They died all over the place when they're fighting a war for the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And they are compensated. Their families are compensated.
The families weren't compensated. The families weren't compensated for that.
But slaves were not.
Okay, so your rule then is nobody gets any money except people that were slaves. All right, so how about people who have in their background they are descendants of? No, Brian, hang on, because I'm almost out of time here. I got to go to a break. So one other question though: What then of the people who have in their background their descendants are both slaves and slave owners?
Well, that's what you do with reparations. You got to hash that out.
Where do they get half?
You got to start. You got to get down to the fundamentals of.
That's what I'm asking you.
It's going to take place.
That's what we're doing. So I'm asking.
Well, I need at least a month to figure that one out.
Okay. Well, you work on that, Brian. I appreciate the call. I think you got to. Speaking of cooking and recipes, I think you want to let that one cook a little bit longer. That idea. You just want to let that idea, maybe simmer. Just let it simmer. By the way, there was one other question I never did get to with caller Brian, which was, and I did mention at the beginning, but like, and then he said, no, this would be the beginning of a process, because I think there are a lot of people who would argue that the payment of lots and lots of money that we don't actually have, but the payment of all this money, that is then we're square. That's it. It's over. And in fact, this is what a lot of proponents, supporters of the reparations idea, they're actually worried about that being the response, the reaction from a lot of Americans when, you know, if the day ever came when there were reparations paid out, that there would be a belief that now the issue is over. Because I don't think you're going to be persuasive to say, you know, give me $1 million. Oh, and by the way, I still get to use this as a weapon of some kind against you when the people that you've taken the $1 million from don't have $1 million, right? And they're not wealthy. So I think that you inherently have this tension then between the two sides, you know? All right, let me jump over here and get Michael. Hello, Michael. Welcome to the program.
Hey. Pete. Love your show.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you for taking my call. I listen to your show almost every day.
Well, thank you.
Through the week. I had a couple of points I wanted to make, if I may. First of all, I really appreciate you pointing out the stance of Mr. Robinson, whom I voted for. Like you mentioned yourself, I'm unaffiliated for obvious reasons. But it's just, you know, so many people are uneducated about the Republican Party. You cited the suffrage movement. You cited the NAACP, which were, I think, largely issues that most are unaware of. Having said that, I would like to make one comment, if I may, in regards to reparations. I read a quote some years back. I can't cite the source, but basically the person was saying that you've got people that never actively lived as slaves wanting money from people that never owned slaves.
Correct.
I'm 50 years old, and, you know, I was born in 1973. That idea it makes me irate because, I still haven't found my white privilege at all. I was born in a very blue-collar family here in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I just think that whole, you know, I think that whole idea of reparation is completely divisionist.
So, right, and I understand the historical roots of the question, you know, the 40 acres and a mule that was promised. Like, I get that. But there are a lot of people who think that this would be a far cleaner operation than it would be, you know, because there are a lot of people, just like you've expressed, that would be very mad that they're not wealthy. They've, you know, been poor, and now they're going to see a group of people get a whole bunch of money. Oh, and by the way, like the playing of the race card, quote unquote, right? That, like, that still would be a thing then. So what exactly are we buying, right? If you're asking us to pay for harm that was done, right, then that should settle the bill. That should settle the score. Now, if you're going to tell me it doesn't, then why would I pay that bill, right? I appreciate the call, Michael, because, like, you're offering me very little by way of moving forward if you're just going to get a bunch of money and continue to make the arguments you have already been making.